We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm host Leah Mattinson. And first of all, I want to say thank you to everyone who's joining us from wherever it is that you are on this beautiful planet. Give yourselves a pat on the back for once again joining us on this Master Your Life podcast, whether you're listening on Master Your Life or Recovery Road. We're just so grateful that you're here and that you're sharing the podcast with your friends, family, maybe even your children or grandchildren, because we're trying to speak to a fairly wide audience about health and well-being and how do you actually manage your life and manage your mental health, physical health, emotional health. And these things happen in a big system. And so the big system includes everyone from grandparents to little ones. So again, thank you everyone for joining us for this episode. If you're listening to us on a podcast, make sure that you come over to the YouTube channel, Leah Mattinson, or that you join me on MasterYourLife.ca. So without further ado, today I've got in the hot seat as my guest, Dr. David Hardy. Dr. Dave, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again.
It's lovely to see you once again this beautiful Friday morning. Now, Dr. David Hardy is a functional neurologist from Red Deer, Alberta, Canada, and he practices out of the Collegiate Sports Center in Red Deer. Dr. Dave has been the guest on many episodes, so if you've missed any of those, then please go back and check out what we've been talking about. Today, we're going to focus in on the second phase of fitness. And this was Dr. Dave's idea because he's brilliant. So I'm going to give him all the credit where credit is due. Dr. Dave, what do you mean by the second phase of fitness? What does that mean?
Yeah, basically during a year, what happens is we start to see people make the New Year's resolutions. And well, we know how well those always work out.
What do you mean?
Right. And then we get stuck into this funk in usually February and March, and then we start to see spring happening and get spring fever. And all of a sudden you start to see the bikes come out and you start to see people jogging more on the paths, and people start to be a little more active now that that the snow's melting. And I call it the second wave of fitness because, yeah, obviously the New Year's ones don't usually last too long and people fall off it. And then when we get this surge of energy from being housebound all winter and finally being able to go outside and enjoy things a little more, then people become a little more active. And also that's kind of when we start to see the soreness and injuries and other things that happen with people who have being sedentary for a little while and then all of a sudden start to be a little more active.
Yeah. And it's a redemption period also. I was just saying to Dr. Dave before we got on the air that I consider March 21st sort of the beginning of the year for me. And I've never really, allocated why that is, what's the reason for that. But it is that there's this reset that happens around that time every year for me where I feel like I've got more energy, more clarity. I feel more creative. The juices are flowing. And so that is in attune with nature, right? So it's it makes sense. Totally makes sense. So in your practice, Dave, what do you see people coming in with? Because, a lot of people who live in the Northern Hemisphere have been, anywhere between 5-6 months or longer sometimes indoors. And there's even more of that, I think, because of COVID, that people stayed inside, really got really, really comfortable in their pajamas and, kind of hunkered down in their homes, barely moving, it seems. What I hear from people, it's like, I barely moved for 2 years. You can hear it in their voice. Right. And in the way that they think, and it's quite remarkable. But again, it's like, that's who the listenership is here. People who are trying to master their life and get back the mojo. So what is it that you see in your practice that kind of are the common sorts of struggles or ailments?
Right now, it's going to be a lot of muscle stiffness and basically just that back pain, neck pain that happens when you start to be a little more active and moving around. Muscle pain is obviously kind of the biggest one, because you're up moving and joints also start to ache a little bit more because you're of course putting stress into them. Myself, like if I start to jog, sometimes it will be a lot of muscle pain in my calves. And those ones are always a tough one to get those knots and trigger points out of. So it kind of just becomes one of those cascades. And then, of course, people just feel, like their lungs aren't working as well. And that whole cardiovascular system and energy when you actually exert yourself is not what it used to be either. Mm-hmm. So you got a little bit extra of a spare tire around the waist as well that you're trying to burn off before summer happens as well. So there's always that fear motivation too, that summer's coming and it's time to start looking good again. So
yeah. And isn't it sad that we go into fear? I'm like, that's true. It's like people go, oh my God, here comes summer. I don't want to be seen in a bathing suit. So not only do you not really enjoy spring, because you're in fear of what's happened to your body and your mind. And then you're creating a whole chemical cascade of, fear and loathing towards yourself that really is not serving what it is you're trying to achieve, which is feeling mobile, feeling fluid, feeling strong, feeling healthy, feeling, juicy, spring juicy. And all of that is, all of it, like, it's like the wall. You hit the wall before you even get going because you've got this fear cascading through you. So what are some of the first tips that you give people around how to kind of put one foot in front of the other? And just to keep moving through that fear.
Yeah. Right now, basically the best thing you can do is always change up the diet. Mm-hmm. So the first step before you go into the exercise is once again, diet, because you can't out-train a bad diet. And the other thing is when we're deconditioned, what happens is when we start to exercise, we produce actually inflammatory cascades. Mm-hmm. So over exercising right off the bat is not a good idea. Mm-hmm. So keeping it just slow when you're first starting is key. And of course that's basic advice, but at the same time, it needs to be said over and over again. And so that we don't end up being very stiff, sore, and more inflamed than we first started out exercising. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of the key things. And it's great to be outside in the sunshine, everything else. Take frequent breaks in the exercise. So it's not a bad idea just to jog a little bit, then do a walk, and then kind of rinse and repeat. Keep doing that. Jog, walk, just do little dosages just to get the system fired up and working a little bit. Mm-hmm. And not exceeding what your system can handle right off the bat. So there's no harm too if you're just finally getting out for a walk, is just walk a little bit, then find a place to sit down for a little bit, work on your breathing during that time period, and then get back up and walk a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So just taking those constant, frequent rest breaks, and they don't have to be long, and the duration of the exercise doesn't have to be long either. But just kind of that go and rest, go and rest kind of multiple phases into your exercise is going to be the best. Don't go full tilt right off the bat. And I joke around with like my baseball players is that Yeah, you're now into spring training, and baseball, of course, is one of those sports you go from standing around or sitting to a full out sprint or into the hardest throw imaginable. So sports like that, you really need to condition yourself before you start doing that as well. And you're not going to see that more in the competitive side of it. What you're going to see it is in basically the social leagues. And so just a reminder that, yeah, going to full sprint right off the bat without doing things before that, yeah, you might be a little more prone to injuring yourself. So so get out and do, once again, just a little bit of jogging and resting, and then build up the pace from there, and just ease into it a little bit better. So
yes, awesome advice. And don't compare yourself to anybody else. I think like that also gets people into lots of like, I can't do this. I was just out shopping with my mom and this lady who's, my mom's 76 and I'm 54. So this lady probably was right in between us for age. And she and mom were chatting and mom said, oh, you know, like I'm really deconditioned. I haven't been out for walking or whatever else. And this lady's a real walker and cycles as well. She does the MS bike-a-thon every year.
Okay.
And so anyway, she just said, oh, don't worry about it, Sharon. Like, just get out there and do what you can. She goes, I'll come by and pick you up for a walk. And she goes, I won't be able to keep up with you. And this lady's like, well, of course not. Who cares? Like, let's go walk for as far as we can. And then we'll stop and have coffee. So that's good. It's just exactly. But these. Yeah. So finding good supportive people, I think, too, is a big help to keeping us in an even keel of also, you know our limits, being able to say, you know, I don't think I can go any further today. Or I think I can go further. So you go home and I'm just going to keep on trucking, you know, I'm going to keep on going. So know thyself.
And don't compare yourself to what you were back in last summer. Because you're not there right now.
Right. Yes. Or compare, but don't expect to be able to execute it.
Exactly. Eventually you're going to be back into your regular summer shape, but yeah, don't think you can automatically get there off the bat here.
So one of the things I think that was a real gift with, along the way, cause I was 100 pounds overweight many years ago and I was athletic all the way along. So, so losing the weight, and then realizing how much control I had over my own physique.
Right.
Is like pretty incredible when you go, oh man, I can make myself look like this. I can make myself look like this. I can make myself be this strong. I can make myself be this fast. So, I mean, obviously there's some genetic things that I would never be able to do. Like I couldn't lift like a guy. I'm not that strong. I've never been that strong ever. But what I want people to consider is to go, what could you do? What's within the realm of possibility for you? So while you're starting with these small steps, also, is it important to have some sort of thing in mind about what it is you want to achieve? Do you think, Dr. Dave, does that help us at all?
Oh, definitely. Anytime we think about anything, it's going to fire down through what's called the reticular formation. Mm-hmm. And basically that's fancy word for basically all this intention flowing down into the spots of the brain that actively basically do stuff. So then you become more aware, and then that awareness just builds more awareness. So the brain really can only concentrate on a few things at a time. So that's why focus and changing and shifting that attention is so powerful with us. And yeah, the other thing is, like in sports, you're always told to visualize things. And that visualization, once again, fires through these feedback loops and preps the system and fires some of the same circuitry as if you're actually doing it. It's going to be lower grade and not as intense, though. But yeah, having that picture of what you want to do, what you want to accomplish, is actually going to fire down into those circuits as if they're actually doing it to some extent. And then, yeah, it's a great way to prep the system. And then two, it's kind of one good thing leads to another. And then you start to build these patterns, and next thing you know, you are doing it. And then you're thinking of something higher and better, or the next adventure to do, or the next crazy activity. And you're there.
Right. So what are some of the adventures and crazy activities that have worked best for you over the last 5 years, let's say? Why not? Let's ask. I'm curious.
I started to take up mountain biking more and more. And at first it was kind of more the cross country, which was very great for cardiovascular and building my legs up and endurance, everything else. And then I got into more of the downhill mountain biking. So it became more of that kind of speed rush and reacting, and yeah, your legs are still burning and you're huffing and puffing to a different extent, but it's more of that rush per se than the endurance side of it. So this year it's kind of a focus to getting into a bit of both is the plan, of course. And then I've still got this audacious goal to maybe get in a rugby game or two. It's our club's 50th anniversary, so there's talk of putting an old boys team together, so that might be something, just to have a little fun on a weekend, reunite with old teammates, and hopefully the body holds up a little right. bit.
It's the Masters.
it really is. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, like in rugby, you'll see people in their 40s, 50s, sometimes even 60s playing in these games. And there's different color of shorts too, depending on on how much contact people want to be in. So,
that's interesting. What a great idea. That's a good strategy. I love it. I'm like, okay, now I got to go shopping.
Yeah.
I'll have to get the legend from you after we're done this show. What's a safe color to wear? What day is it?
Right. A little different than day, but...
Oh, that's great. That is so much fun.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
The station that makes you feel good.
You know, one of the things I love and do consistently for conditioning is skipping. You know, so okay. I'm thinking about all the ages and stages of development and, you know, life. One of the things I learned really, really young was skipping. So we just skipped all the time because I could skip on gravel. It was much harder to ride a bike. I grew up on a farm, so much harder to ride on a bike in gravel than it was to skip. So skipping was my thing for a number of years. And I still skip. Like, I have my skipping ropes hanging up in my office. So for those of you who are actually not watching this, please come to the masteryourlife.ca website or the YouTube channel. And because then you can actually see what, you know, some of the fun things that we get up to during these episodes. And so skipping is definitely one of the things that I've done all along the way, except when I had broken feet, that's another story. But then
I like another story.
I'm so glad that I grew up in a town where there was lots of hockey players, because one of the things was that people would get to have to just sit for sometimes a season or two because of having bad injuries. So right. One of the key takeaways for me was, even with a bad injury, you can still have a comeback. You just have to be like strategic about it and, you know, wait wait for the injury to be healed. So there was just lots of lessons where I think a lot of people throw in the towel because they go, well, I can't do that activity anymore because this has happened or that's happened or whatever's happened. But maybe if you're training yourself back to being able to do the activity, you'll be able to. It might take a year or two or maybe longer, or maybe you won't ever be able to do it. Like if you've had a knee replacement or a hip replacement or that kind of thing, maybe skipping is not the thing to do, or
right,
really, really, you know, overweight or deconditioned, but it's a really simple one for kids to do.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the faves. And yes. Yeah. Very good. So what other things should people watch out for as they get into this second wave of fitness? What are the things that would stop people in their tracks from, besides day two muscle onset, besides DOMS?
That's going to be the biggest one that stops people, I guess.
Talk about what that is. What is DOMS?
Delayed muscle onset.
Yeah. Yes.
Sort of. Basically, yeah, what we're talking about is that you might feel okay the next day after, but the second day it seems to hit you when the muscles just go completely stiff and tight on you. Mm-hmm. And part of it, once again, is that the muscles are deconditioned, so they're not used to that exercise, but also we produce an inflammatory response when we overexercise too. So that mechanism obviously kicks in more in later stages of life because our immune systems become more conditioned to be inflamed. And of course, we also have spent winter or all this time being sedentary and not eating great foods and being in environments basically that cause us to be more inflamed. So then the system's more primed to be inflamed when we exercise because, once again, we've got a higher level of inflammation in our body already. And then one of the jobs of the immune system is to recycle tissues and regenerate tissues. So then this process becomes just way too... robust, and we feel it. Mm-hmm. So definitely booking those appointments with your chiro, ATPT, massage therapist, and start planning to also have that care as you're going through this phase where you're getting into shape. Otherwise, yeah, you are going to feel it, and all these appointments are going to help you recover quicker, better, and get back into once again those spring and summer activities eventually. Mm-hmm. Stretching and actually setting aside time to stretch the muscles out is going to be key too, and usually once again in that recovery period after you exercise for a little bit.
Yeah. I love, I was trained in Western athletics and was an athletic trainer and a personal trainer for many, many, many years. And one of the things that I learned along the way as a result of lots of injuries was Qigong. And so I am going to do a shameless shout out for Qigong, because one of the things in the Western approach is no pain, no gain. And in Qigong, it's no pain, no pain.
Yeah.
And those are two very different things. And so when people look at me, they go, how the heck do you look so like, how, why are you so happy? And why do you look so good? And it's only whatever, like it's the end of February. Well, and I say, well, because I do my practice year round, and it's not a tough practice. But you know, it's a lifesaver for being able to keep yourself mentally strong, physically in flow, noticing what's going on in your body. So you notice that spare tire before it actually gets there. Cause I will notice things. I'll just go, whoa, what the heck is that? Okay. No, that's not right. That isn't the way I want my body to move or how I want to feel. So how do I move that blocked energy? And then I'm much better able to handle the springtime, spring training camp sorts of stuff, because I haven't let my condition go completely to to pot. And so you can check that out on, again, on the website, masteryourlife.ca, and go to the merch or shop page and look for Lee Holden. So Lee Holden's my master. You can take lots of different good training through him. And because also sometimes people don't have the budget or the time to go make the professional appointments, it's another way of getting your needs met. And then when your physical health needs, and then when you notice something is really off kilter, then you can say, put all your energy and resources into going to see your chiro and your PT and your OT and all those things. Because there is a time and place, definitely, where you might have an injury.
It's all one big giant picture of how you take care of your health and everything on top. And for the people that aren't buying into the Qigong and everything in that way, what I would say is that when you do experience the muscle soreness and stiffness, is use it as a recovery tool to activate the body and get it moving in a gentler way, so that that muscle stiffness and everything else starts to dissipate quicker with you. And then once you see that, you'll start to realize, yeah, this is something that you should probably integrate more and more into your routine, as you've been saying. And then you're more equipped to, for if your goal is to do the heavy spring stuff, is now you've got a better base and better movement patterns and everything else that comes along with the Qigong, which is amazing for the body.
Thanks for that. It is. And I know, and it is a good way for keeping people motivated and activated, which part of this game, a big portion of the game is mental. Do you have any research or thoughts about how empowering is it for people to look themselves in the mirror, let's say, just in the eyes, and to, you know, evaluate what's going on, or to make a commitment to themselves by kind of that self-reflection in action thing?
Definitely, yeah. Mirror therapy, let's call it
mirror therapy.
Mirror therapy. There's a great TED talk actually on basically doing power poses. So with power poses, once again, you should do it in the mirror as well, so that you've got that extra feedback. Is to open up and use the extensor muscles, be nice and tall, and be in a powerful position. And then look at yourself too, and make the facial expressions that you want to be into that mood. And then hold it. Like if you're uncomfortable with it at first, that's great, because that means it's something you need to practice. So hold it until it becomes comfortable, and then go a little past that too. So practice that smile with posture pose, practice different assertive facial expressions as well. And the more you see it, the more you practice it, then the more it's going to develop into something that just stays there and you feel throughout the day. And oftentimes we think that, yeah, we've got to have that focus and attention before things change. Well, quite commonly, if we change things physically, then the emotions change as well. And all back and forth. Now, another great example here is, like, how many people out there have jaw tension? Like if you just put your fingers on your jaw, how tight are those muscles? All right. Now try to get them to be tighter. So usually that's biting down or frowning, and those muscles get extremely tight. So the analogy I use is that's like flexing your bicep all day. So then that muscle is going to become extremely tight and taut and sore and tender, and then the joint's going to feel it as well, because now it's in a different position, and all those fine nerves in the jaw are going to be inflamed, and now you've got TMJ pain. Well, what's the opposite of flexing your bicep? It would be to use the muscles on the other side of your arm, your triceps, and take some of that tension out of the bicep. Well, same with the jaw. What's the opposite of clenching down and keeping that tight jaw? All right. It would be opening up the mouth. So open up the mouth as wide as you can. Exaggerate it a little bit.
Come along. Do it with us.
Then the opposite of clenching down and going forward with the jaw is to move it back slightly. So when you do that, all these muscles have to move back. So it's open and back. And all of a sudden, you've got this smile on your face. So the
it really works. You guys should try it. Try it. And you don't look in a mirror, maybe. No. Okay, do look in a mirror because then you can see what's going on.
Yeah, it's going to be an exaggerated smile if you followed those steps. And then hold that until it turns into a real smile and you're glowing. Yeah. And the more you can hold that position, the more you strengthen those muscles. And if you start to notice that those muscles are tired and that it actually starts to hurt a little bit, once again, those are deconditioned muscles. Mm-hmm. So always think which muscles are too tight and what's the opposite motion I can make. And well, same with people who've been hunched over all of this time is, yeah, you're going to have tighter pecs and your shoulders are going to come forward. When your shoulders come forward, so does your shoulder blade. And that little bony process that attaches to your collarbone is now pinching down on all that soft tissue that's underneath it. So your supraspinatus tendons, all that neural nerves coming down from the neck into the brachial plexus down the arm, all that vasculature that goes into the arm, all of that's being compressed with that forward posture. And the head and neck comes forward, and all of a sudden now you've got these tight muscles in the front of your neck because it's like flexing your bicep all the time. And then too, you've got all this weight coming forward on the head, which pushes down into those tiny little joints in the neck. And now those become inflamed and achy and tight. And if it also starts to pull on some of those muscles in the back of the head attaching to the neck, well, that's going to kind of lead into those headaches. Yeah. So what's the opposite? Moving the shoulders back, bringing the shoulder blades down and in, and bringing the chin straight back, not up, not down, just straight back, and holding that posture. And you're going to start to notice, well, yeah, that's actually difficult. Those muscles haven't been used for a while. And then you start to realize, okay, part of all of this is feeding into my mood where things are slowly starting to get worse and worse and achy and sore, stiff. And then the opposite is to open up and let those muscles start to work properly, take the tension off those joints. And you might notice that a lot of those joints are stuck, fixated. And yeah, then it would be a simple adjustment and to get those working better for you as well. So the combination approach always seems to work really well with all of these things. And then getting the nice movements and flowing movements in through all these joints and tissues as well. So these posture exercises where you open up and you get the extensor muscles to work and take that tension and pressure off all these flexor muscles that have been too tight. And of course, now you start to see that posture get better and better versus, yeah, or let's put our head down and get to work at a desk type stuff. And yeah, we're feeling it now when we actually get out in the spring and start to do things.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And this spring, more than ever, I want, just in case people are not picking up this parallel, this is, I'm just going, the parallel between being masked and all of the things that go on with our face that are not to our benefit is like just front and center for me as we're talking about this, because people don't see you smile. One of the things some maskers were joking about was that they never had to do their makeup, that they only worried about, you know, like they actually were swearing under their masks lots. So they weren't smiling. So that has, like, after 2 years, impact, not only on the people who are adulting and doing that, but the children who've been forced into this also. And so yes. There is this very deconditioned culture that now people who used to actually be pretty smiley are almost like not. It's very strange. So we're all, many people, not all, because I don't think everyone's in that condition. But for those who are, this is a really important comeback. This is maybe the most important spring training camp you've ever had. And all it is your smile.
Yeah.
just work on that. Just your posture and your smile and breathing.
Now we've done talks on sleep as well. And, yes. And then on heart rate and everything else. And I'm sure some people out there have heard of vagal stimulation. So that's cranial nerve number 10, which fires down and controls a lot of autonomic function. Well, cranial, like the vagus nerve, cranial nerve 10 is in the same brachial arch. Brachial arch is just basically how things develop when we're being born. Well, before we're being born and in that fetal development. So in that same arch or same area where things develop together are going to be the nerves 9, 7, and 5. So which ones are those? The trigeminal is number 5. So that controls a lot of the muscles in the face. Okay. And the jaw and sensory information. Then you've got the facial nerve, cranial nerve 7. Which really controls the muscles of the face and sensation to some extent as well. And then you've got cranial nerve number 9 as well. So bitter back 9 is kind of the nickname for that one, which is the taste on the back of the tongue there. And so all of these, you're looking at basically sensations in the face, head and neck, and also that muscle control of voice and everything else and breathing. And if those start to decline, remember they're connected together. So if you stop using one, then the next one doesn't work as well. So over a long period of time, then of course we start to lose that control of muscles in the back of our throat. And well, then breathing becomes an issue. And well, when we go to sleep and have kind of less control over muscles, then we get that snoring, that sleep apnea, all of those things that also take place. And of course, there's other causes behind this, but disuse is one major one. And like, how many people actually sing nowadays? And yeah, a few people are going to put up their hands and then others are like, well, I only sing in the car or the shower or, mm-hmm. and I've been stuck at home, so I'm not doing much of that now as well.
And in some places they were threatening on fining people if they sang. So this spring or this year, just, you know, stop the shenanigans. Don't play along with that. We're meant to be, yeah, singing. I think we're instruments. We're tuning ourselves all the time. You know, if you look at yourself as an instrument, we are. We're tuning ourselves all the time. So what are you tuning yourself towards? Are you tuning yourself to bliss or are you tuning yourself to whatever the opposite of that is? Because there's, you know, you're either feeding one fire or the other one.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to, like, if you don't think you've got a great voice, then sing on your own and, mm-hmm. once again, you're doing it to stimulate all those fine little muscles in the back of the throat. Mm-hmm. And if you think about singing, laughing, and speaking, you're controlling breath movements. Mm-hmm. And all those fine detailed muscles are connected. So when you move the jaw back, you should start to feel it in the back of the neck as well, because you're activating all those muscles that are closely related to each other. And the posture actually gets better when you're using those muscles in the face that cause the face to smile. It actually kind of pulls back a little bit and gets the neck in a better position versus the tense ones where you come forward and you feel all that tension. And yeah, it's very connected to the breathing and to swallowing and to things we start to notice that decline as we age. Mm-hmm. So always the analogy is how we develop determines how we perform in life. And then how we perform in life determines how we start to decline later in life. Mm-hmm. And all of these things are little things, of course, that build up. And then you don't have, when you know this, you don't have to be going, oh my God, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. Why can't I breathe? Why am I snoring? Like all these things. And why am I choking on my food? And all these
things. That's why I'm choking on my food. Again, it's like this whole Huntington's thing. It's one of the first things that happens is people lose their ability to swallow. And I've sang for years. So, but when I got my genetic status, I went, what can I do to be the healthiest that I can possibly be? I want to keep all of my abilities. So what do I need to train? And I was an active singer, but I actually signed up for more singing lessons with a proper singing teacher as an adult, like as at 42 or 43 years old. Yeah. 40, I guess. Yeah. Then went and learned a ton. I learned so much and, my voice got stronger. I got better. And it was one of those things also that you're getting feedback from somebody who's saying, yeah, this is good. This is in tune, or you need, like, work on this a little bit. So you're in a relationship with somebody else, who is giving you some feedback and coaching and guidance, just like if you're working with an OT or a chiro or a PT, all of those things. So it's kind of fun to have these people in your corner that you can work with. And teaching or encouraging little ones to sing. I think that this has been really lost in this time of technology. You know, so just throw the kids on the iPad or put them in front of the TV where they're not creating a single thing. But if you have them in the car and you don't give them a device, then you start singing some goofy, silly things, they'll sing along, and it's encouraging them to find their voice. There's so many fun things. I'm so glad you brought that one up, Dr. Dave. That's a really powerful healing and funny. Oh my gosh, so funny to just try singing different songs. Even if you're out of tune or your kid's trying things. I remember my children learning how to sing The Devil Went Down to Georgia. And that's a fast one. Just so for those of you who don't know, now everyone's going to be looking it up. The Devil Went Down to Georgia. And they were really little. And I thought, they're going to both be able to rap. Listen to that. Because they could sing all of the lyrics. I couldn't. And they were just like, oh, that's amazing. And then lots of good laughter from that as well. And people, you know, when you're in the spirit again of bliss, because that's what it puts you into, you're not alone in the bliss. It's like you're inviting other people to be in this blissful state. That's free. It's free to sing. Doesn't have to cost a cent, right? It's just like... Yeah. Very incredibly powerful tool. So what would be, we've got about 4 minutes left for this interview, Dr. Dave. And I know people were thinking we were going to talk mainly about the physical sort of training aspects of things, but we've talked about a lot of different mental, physical, emotional things that people can focus on. What do you think would be the biggest, do you think there's ages and stages where people should start out in there taking back their physical, mental, emotional health? Or do you think that you can apply these strategies to every age and stage of life?
I think you've got to apply it to every area and stage of life. Because, you can be a teenager and be deconditioned. And, you could be a senior citizen, be in the best shape ever type thing. And even if you're in the best shape ever, you still need things to help you recover, and so that you can get back into your performance the next day when you do it. So all of these are extremely valuable tips and tricks and more systems, though, to start to get you thinking about, once again, recovering and building better tissues and better health. And I really don't think there's a problem with people that are quote unquote motivated right now, because there's so many people getting out, and they know they've been unhealthy for a while, and they're in that stage where they want to do something. And the biggest thing now is, how do you keep somebody in that stage when they've got that motivation to do some of this? And letting them get into a position where they're tight, stiff, sore, and and feeling it is not going to be sustainable. And that's when people fall out of phase two fitness, per se. So yeah, let's concentrate on how to keep that momentum going, and getting people to actually feel good when they start to be motivated to exercise and to take control of their health and life.
Yeah. One of the other things I want to amplify here that was the biggest gift in my life, I think, along the way, is having really excellent mentors. So that whole, hitching yourself to the highest vibrational energy, or, you know, making sure that you're hanging out with good people who really want to achieve stuff in their life, whether that's physically, mentally, emotionally, in business. But just that whole, when you surround yourself with people who are where you want to be, and you actually go, wow, how do I learn what they know? What's their magic? And you'll try out some things that won't work. You go, gosh, I don't really like that. Or there's lots of things. I tried playing women's hockey. Nope. It's just like, that is right out. Oh, I spent more time on my butt than, oh, it was very, very funny though. Lots of laughs for people. And man, the gloves just reek. Oh, there's some things, but I said, yes, you know, like I tried things out. So it's like, don't be afraid to experiment, try things, be with people who are fun, be with people who are, you know, good and where you want to be, so that, like, it's like the highest tides float all the boats, you know? So if you're with the high tide people, the people who are achieving what it is that you want to achieve in your life. And if they're not in your neighborhood, cause you know, who are the people in your neighborhood, or maybe not those people. So how do you find them? And one of the things, Dr. Dave, I don't know if you'd be willing to share or not, but we were talking before we got on air that you found a really great group that you hook up with connect with every week. How's that helped you? What is that, and how's it helped?
Yeah, actually, I joined an entrepreneurs group, and right now it's mainly over Zoom and all around the world. And basically it is being around other go-getters that are improving business-wise, intellectually, and health-wise. And all of these people have realized that it's all health, financial health, physical health, mental health, all of it is health. Mm-hmm. And the hardest thing is how to get all of them working together. And that's kind of the goal of it, is we focus on one area of it. But like we went through smiling and how physically that makes us less tense, mm-hmm. and how mentally it makes us feel better. And well, when we look at groups of people, the ones that are smiling more and less tense usually have better success in their career as well. So it is all connected, and it's just how do we encourage each other to continue to integrate all of this together, especially when distractions and BS and everything else constantly hit you.
Yes, I have great appreciation for that. I just think that's so wonderful. And heart-centered men was the other thing that you'd said that I went, yeah, because there's something that differentiates the I'm going to get out there and conquer the world versus the I'm getting out there to Make a better world. Yes, completely different things. So we're out of time, Dr. Dave. Thank you so much for being my guest once again. I want to encourage everyone to reach out to Dr. Dave at the Collegiate Sports Center, or you can find him on the masteryourlife.ca website, or you can email us and we'll put you in touch with him. And his social media will be on the posts on the website. So don't hesitate to reach out and connect, because that's what we are all about, helping you. So everyone, love yourselves, love each other, mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.